Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you can make it. If you don't know who I am, my name is Caleb. I am the student pastor here, and you have some really great leaders around you that I hope you get to know tonight. So just know, the leaders are here because they love you. They want to see you succeed in whatever the God calls you to do. And so, man, take advantage of tonight. So in the next few minutes, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to speak to you a little bit about what God has put on my heart, but I'm going to speak to you a little bit about some questions that your peers have asked. Maybe you asked them, actually. Some questions that maybe you or one of your friends have asked. And we're in this middle of the series. It's called Ask Anything. And what we mean by ask anything is that you can ask. There it is. And we will answer as many of your questions as we can. The way you ask a question, Parker shared earlier, he's our youth, summer youth, one of our summer youth interns. He shared earlier that you can ask by either putting a question in our DMs on Instagram. You can DM us, you can text a question in, or easiest way since you're here, we have this mailbox. And this mailbox, ooh, look at that. Oh, I see you. Oh, look at that. That's awesome. I spotlight everybody. Hey, get them in the sound booth back there. Look at that. Hey, guys. Cool. All right. So the way that you can do that is you get one of these things that say ask anything. You write your question. You don't have to put your name or anything on it. And then you just slide it, boom, right in the mailbox. Don't break the mailbox. And then we'll get your question. Put that down before I blind you. We'll get your question and we'll answer it. The mailbox is outside of those doors right around the corner. That's where it lives. It lives out there, and that's where you can ask your question. I'm gonna pray for us because I believe, I believe that God has brought you here tonight for a purpose. Like really, like I don't think you're here on accident. I don't think you're here because you just really, really wanted to be. I think there's people that may have really, really wanted to be that couldn't make it tonight. I think some of you in here like maybe didn't even want to come tonight, but your parents said, no, we really, really want you to be. But God has brought you here, whatever circumstances surround that, God brought you here tonight for a reason. And so we're gonna ask him to just do whatever, like that song said, that we would ask him to do what he would like to do. We want to join him in what he wants to do in this moment. So we're going to pray real quick. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for new friendships that you will put together tonight, Lord. We thank you for old friendships that people get to reunite, Lord. We just thank you for the time where we can come together. We can freely worship you. We can open your word. We can learn. And so God, would you help us to focus? Lord, I know that even for myself, focus has always been hard. And for some in here, focus is hard. So God, would you help us? Would you help us to focus and to hear what is in your word, Lord? And would you speak through me? Or would it be your thoughts and your ideas, Lord, and your truth spoken through my voice? We give this time to you. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to answer real quick. I'm going to answer four questions. A couple of them are going to go, three questions. Nope, four questions. I decided four. And a couple of them are going to go by pretty quick. And then the last one we're going to kind of dive a little deeper in. And it's going to be what you're going to speak about afterwards in community group. So what happens is I'm going to speak to you a little bit. And then right after this, you're going to go to community group. And your community groups are going to be broken up. Sixth grade will be in a group. Seventh grade will be in a group. And eighth grade. Not what you were, but what you will be. Sixth grade this coming year. Seventh grade this coming year. Eighth grade this coming year. Got it? This is Promotion Wednesday, so congratulations. All right. First question. Is Nolan, which is my wife, Caleb's wife, pregnant? It's a personal question. Hey, that's rude. Yeah, she is pregnant.
Hey, guess what? Hey, big news. Y'all are the first to hear about this. Literally, I haven't even told, like, the rest of the church this. Y'all, like, I am not pregnant. But here's the truth. Hey, for real, my wife had a doctor's appointment today, and we got to see the first ultrasound. She actually sent me a picture because I couldn't be there this morning. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. But the baby is due. The baby is due on my birthday. Kind of crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. All right, next question. What is the most awkward date you have ever been on? All right. We told you we would answer any question. And we mean it. Hey, here's the question I have for you, though. If I'm going to share this answer with you, can I trust you? All right, okay. All right, hey, there's two awkward dates. Do you want to know the one that happened before I met my wife or the one that happened while I was married? All right. I think I heard while I was married. All right, here it is. I think this is a better one anyways. I go to take my wife on a date for her birthday. So my first son, his name is Levi. He's 5 years old, but he wasn't even one yet. He was born in October. My wife's birthday is December. So December comes around, and it's been 3 months. We hadn't really been able to go on a date. It's December 3rd is my wife's birthday. We leave Levi, who's only 3 months old, with my parents. And I said, where do you want to go? And she says, I want to go eat sushi. And I said, I love sushi. Let's go eat sushi. So here's the thing. When you're pregnant, you can't eat raw fish. You can't eat sushi. So she was craving it for 9 months, now 10, 11, 12, a year. She's been craving it for a year. So we go and eat sushi because she hadn't had it. It was so good. We ate it. And then she's like, do you want to go? What do you want? I said, what do you want to do next? It's your birthday. We can do anything. She's like, we could go see a movie. I'm like, we got to be quick because Levi's going to be hungry. Like, we're going to have to come back. But we go and like, the movie times don't work out. I said, where else do you want to go? And there happens to be a Chuck E. Cheese nearby. Check this out. I, for the record, was like, that sounds like a terrible idea. But my wife, it was her birthday. So I was like, look, I'll do whatever you want. She's like, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. Let's just go. It'll be fun. I said, okay. So we go into Chuck E. Cheese. There's one family there with a kid. It's like late at night. There's one family there with a kid. And then there's two people there without a kid. Which if you've ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, you should bring a kid with you. Maybe you were that kid and your parents didn't feel creepy because you were with them. Me and my wife go, we don't have a kid. We are the people that went to a kid place without a kid. So literally all I have is a $10 bill. I put it in there. They give me like a gazillion coins. And I'm like, what do I do with this? So we start trying to spend it. So I do what any grown adult does in a kid place. I set the record on every game. Right, I'm like, yeah, beat this, chumps, right? And so I'm like setting the record where all these seven-year-olds are gonna come in and be like, man, I hate myself, whatever. So anyway, I set the record, and then this is where it gets awkward. We go to the front because I got all these tickets because I set the record, and I was like, well, let me get my prize. And I go up there, and I have like, 1,000 tickets, and the guy's like, you can have a bouncy ball or a Tootsie Roll because that's what 1,000 tickets gets you. And I was like, well, give me the Tootsie Roll. I'll like bring it back to my kid who can't chew. And then he says, he looks at us, and this is where it gets weird. And he says, what are you doing in here? And I realized in that moment, I have no idea what we're doing in here. This is the most awkward. And it was the most judgmental person I've ever met. Like, he like totally judged us and like began to be creeped out by us because we went to a kid place and we had no kid. Most awkward date while I've been married. There it is. Now you know. You said I could trust you. So yes, you're welcome. All right. Here it is. Question number three. What are tips for being more social? Tips for being more social. Hold on. Here's how I define social. Here's how I define social when I came up with some tips. Here it is. How to relate to people and have a conversation. All right? Whoever's bouncing the ball, just stop. All right. How to relate to people and have a conversation. Now, it does not mean how to have more social media or how to have more social media followers, but rather how to have more conversations with people. Here are my tips real quick. We're going to go fast. First one is this, super simple. Get off your phone. Get off your phone. What are some tips for being more social? Get off your phone. You should see a slide right here that says it. Get off your phone. There it is. Instead, listen. Instead, create some opportunities for someone to talk to you and for you to engage with others. Here's what you say to the world around you. Listen, you know this too. Here's what you say to the world around you when you're like this. You say, don't talk to me. Please leave me alone. So when you come into a room and it's full of people and you walk in like this, what you just told the rest of the people is, I don't actually want to know any of you. I have more important things going on in my phone. But what I know about most of you, you do that because you're nervous. And you have a fear of walking in and no one talking to you. So what do? You act like you have more important things. But what that does then is it communicates that no one's gonna talk to you anyways, and your worst fear becomes reality. All right, second tip. Second tip. When you go to talk to other people, so if you get off your phone, you should then look at people. Try to make eye contact. Say, hey, how are you? Hey, here's my name. Very simple. Second tip. When you engage in a conversation, try not to talk about yourself, but instead ask questions about the other person, because people appreciate when you're interested in them. No one wants to hear you come to them and just talk about yourself. They want to hear you say, hey, what school do you go to? Hey, what sports do you play? Hey, why do you go to that school? Do you live around there? Hey, how long have you lived in the area? Where are you from? Do you have brothers? Do you have sisters? Oh, hey, we have a similar name. Why'd your parents name you that? Like, what? Like, they want to know everything. Why do you smell so good? That's a good one, guys. All right. Here it is. Fourth tip. If you're going to ask questions, you need to know number four. Listen. Listen, if you're going to ask questions in a conversation, listen to the answer. So if someone says, hey, the reason I go to this school is because my parents wanted me to play sports there, a good question is, do you like the sport you're playing? Or how long have you played the sport? Or man, how did you get into that? Or where did you live before? A good question. You ask questions based on what you're hearing. Very simple, very easy. Listen and then ask questions based on that. Got it? And then fourth thing, when someone approaches you, engage them. I don't mean disengage. What you mean? Some of you guys, I already know. You're like, I'm waiting on that girl to approach me because I'm going to engage her. Right? No, don't do that. Shh. Real quick. When someone approaches you, engage them. Meaning, when someone approaches you and you're like this and they still approach you and say, hey, how's it going? Then you can put that phone down, put it in your pocket and say, hey, I'm doing great. How are you? What's your name? Engage them back. If you don't have a pocket, you throw it as far as you can. All right, last question. Hey, last question, the one we're going to spend a little more time on, which really we're going to spend about 10 minutes on right now. Last question. How can I represent God in a positive way? How can I represent God in a positive way? I shared with the sixth graders this morning that for me, with my small group of sixth graders this morning, that for me at this time in middle school was like the hardest time for me. Listen. That I made a life choice at this time in middle school.
And my choice as a preacher's kid, as someone who had placed my faith in Jesus when I was 7, who now was 11, 12, 13, in that age range, what I did was I came to school and I decided I would rather be cool than good. And I changed my language, I changed what I talked about, I changed what I laugh at, I changed how I talk to people and who I talk to. I said, you know what, right now, I want to be cool. I want to fit in, I want people to like me, I want to have more friends than I currently have. I don't want to be thought of as a good kid. I want to know the secrets, I want to know what's going on. And the reason was because I was scared of what they would continue to think of me and how people would treat me, that I was not satisfied with that. I did not know how to represent God in a positive way. But here's the other thing for you guys, that you live in a culture that is even harder to represent God in a positive way than I did. That there's a lot of things going on in your life and in your world and in this community for you to go to school and say, man, I love God, that I am absolutely a Christian, that you're going to potentially get a lot more hate than I would have gotten when I was in middle school because of the way our world is kind of heading. And so this is important. For you to represent God in a positive way, it's going to take two things for you. It's going to take you saying, hey, I need to do this intentionally. Like, I've actually got to, like, be intentional about saying, I want to represent God, number one, I want to represent him positively. Second thing, it's going to take you having wisdom. It's going to take you doing it in a wise manner, doing it the right time in the right way. That representing God in our culture takes both wisdom and intentionality, but there is a way to do it. And here's how you represent God in a positive way. It's really simple. It's really simple. You just do what Jesus did. You represent God in a positive way when you do what Jesus did. And here's what Jesus did. It's really easy. Here's what Jesus did. Really easy. It's really easy to understand. This is John 3:16-17. If you've known or come to church, you probably know this verse. It says this. It says, for God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and his only son, so that everyone who would believe in him will not perish, will not die. Dying is like a top fear. I don't know if it's a fear for you guys, but it's a fear. And he says, but whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have eternal life, life forever. For God, this is the coolest part. This is what I mean by doing what Jesus did. Eyes right here. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To represent, here it is, to represent God in a positive way is to do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He loved them first. What Jesus did was he loved us first. If you want to do what Jesus did in your schools, in your family, in your neighborhood, then you've got to choose to intentionally and wisely love the people around you first. Here's what I mean, is that you love them before you consider their reputation. You love them before you consider what hurt might come to you. And you love them before they love you. Is that you love them first. That's what God's word said Jesus did for us. He didn't consider our sinful reputation. Actually, he said, because of your sinful reputation, I love you. He said, hey, regardless of the hurt that it's gonna cause me, I love you. He said, even though you haven't loved me yet, and maybe some of you never will, I love you. That he loved us first. But this is how Jesus did it. See, you may struggle with this. You may struggle with loving people first. I know I do. And I know if you're human, you probably do too. And so it's really interesting and important to see, okay, Jesus, how did you love them first? Like what does that really look like in our life? And there's this really cool picture of how Jesus did this in Luke chapter 5. It's about this guy named Levi. Actually, Sue talked about it this morning. If you're a sixth grader, you probably heard it this morning. If you're serving in VBS, you heard a little bit about it this morning. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. It says, after this, so Jesus had been preaching and healing. It says, after this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector, eyes right here, named Levi, sitting at the tax office. So here's what you need to know about tax collector is they are a liar. They're a thief. They rob people. They do not care about people. They care only about themselves. They did not care for God, but literally they are the most selfish person in the community. Some of you know that person around you. You're like, you are the Levi of my community. And if you don't know that person, you might be the Levi of your community, which that's, we're going to work on that. And Jesus said to him, listen, to the Levi of the community, Jesus said to him, follow me. If you want to love people well, learn to look at the heart, not the reputation. But Jesus looked at a man that was hated and rightly hated. And he walked up to him and says, do you want something new? Do you want to know new life? Do you want to get out from under what you're on, what's on top of you? Do you want to get out from under your sin? He says, follow me. And this is how Levi responded. Leaving everything behind, he got up and he began to follow him. That's the picture of walking with Jesus. I just want you to understand that. My experience in the sixth grade, in the seventh grade, in the eighth grade, that's not what it looks like to walk with Jesus, where you have one foot in your sports and in your school and in your world, and you say, man, I'm going to like live here, and I'm going to let people like me here. I'm going to do what I can to be loved here, and then I have one foot where I act totally different at church, and I'm not going to use the language I usually use, and I'm going to say different things. I'm going to act different at church. I have the Bible answers at church, and this is my foot for following Jesus. This is my foot for pleasing the world, and I'm just going to kind of ride it out. No. That's not what it looks like to follow Jesus. What Levi did is what it looks like to follow Jesus. He said, I'm going to leave everything behind. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop playing sports. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop going to school, but I'm going to stop letting them have a say in my life with how I live. And instead, Jesus, I want you to be in every moment. God, I want to give you the option in every moment to tell me how to live the next moment. So when I go to my sports practice and I hear them joking, God, how do you want me to handle this moment? When I go play a game, how do you want me to handle this moment? When I go and I have an opportunity to cheat on a test or not, Jesus, how do you want me to handle this moment? I want to follow you in everything. And that's what Levi did. It says he got up and he began to follow him, leaving everything else behind. And then it says, and then Levi hosted a grand banquet for him at his house. And what did Jesus do? He went to the banquet. So he not only said, hey, I love you and I want more for you and do you want to experience new life? Then Levi said, yo, I'm going to have a big banquet and all like my sinful friends that everyone also hates, we're going to come. You want to come? And Jesus said, absolutely, I'll be there. I would never miss it. I'll show you my love for you because I'm going to go and do the things that are exciting for you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for you. And he begins to hang out with him. See, Jesus was concerned about Levi's greatest need, which was salvation. He wasn't concerned about his previous reputation. And this is what Jesus did, is he loved sinful people well first. He loved them first. And it says, now there's a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were reclining at the table with them. But the Pharisees and their scribes, and the Pharisees didn't know it. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. They just thought they were better than everyone else. And it says they were complaining to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? If you've ever been at church and you've seen someone come in from school that you know is really just kind of awful at school, and you said, man, why are they here? Man, why did they even come? I can't believe they're here. You just need to know that's the attitude of a Pharisee. That's not the attitude of Christ in you. That is you adopting the attitude of a Pharisee. A Pharisee is one who looks at the people around and judges their sinfulness and decides whether they should be in the presence of God or not, instead of looking at themselves. And they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus replied to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. That Jesus came for the sinful. That he came for you and for me and say, man, would you recognize your sin and your lostness? Would you recognize that you have a deep need for me? And then he calls people to himself. And some of them will open their eyes and they will see God for his glory and his greatness. They will see John 3, 16 and 17, that God loved us so much that he sacrificed for us, and that Jesus didn't come to tell you how wrong you were, but instead he came to show you how much you needed him and that you would find help in him. He didn't come to say, you're in your sin and you're stuck there forever. He said, you're in your sin and I want to help you out of your sin. Some will open their eyes to that and they will see and they will follow Jesus and he will change their lives. We've seen that in our youth group over the last week. I believe we're going to see it again in the next week and the week after that, especially when we go to camp and people get out of their regular schedules and they start to look at what following Jesus looks like. And they began to follow him. And Levi began to follow him. Why? Because Jesus loved him first. Before he even could love Jesus back. Love is not this gushy, ushy love. It's sacrificial love. It says, I want what's best for you, and I don't have anything to gain. I want what's best for you, and I don't have anything to gain. I want what's best for you, even if I have to lose. And so listen, students, right here. If you were to say, I love my friend, then you're going to say, I want what's best for you. So when you're doing something dumb, I'm going to call you out on that, and I'm going to push you towards Jesus. And if that means our friendship ends because you hate me for that and you walk away, I love you too much to let that be the thing that stops me from helping you do right. If it means that I get in trouble with you, then I love you too much to continue to do bad. I'm willing to get in trouble with you so that we do the right thing. Love is saying, I want what's best for you. I want what's best for you. And that's what Jesus showed to Levi, and that's what Jesus shows to us, and that's what we can show to others. So if you want to represent God positively, I'm going to give you three really quick things. Number one, is you love the people around you genuinely. You love them genuinely, that you extend grace. Number two is you pray for them seriously. And number three is you speak honestly. Is that you would speak honestly. That you would love them genuinely, that you would really go to God and say, God, would you open their eyes? Because only you can. And then number three is you would say, and I'm gonna speak honestly about who God is. I'm not gonna be ashamed of the gospel. No, I'm going to speak out the truth of Jesus in my life. And if it means that I suffer, if it means that relationships are sacrificed, I know that the gospel is what's best for them. And so I'm going to speak it out in love over them, that they would experience what is best for them, that they may know truth too. But I'm going to love them first before I judge them or before they love me. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to go to community groups. God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these students. Would you use community groups to speak more truth into their lives? Would you help us to walk this out? We love you. Amen.